Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Love and happiness, yeah, something that can make you do wrong, make you do right, yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. Love. Brown Liquor Music Hour on the John Chuckery Show, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, radio.com app, as we escort you into the evening. There you go. I was waiting for the hook. Don't worry. I was there. Willie P. and for John Chuckery here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hope you're enjoying yourself on a Monday evening. Again, we do this every final hour of the program. Guess we get you into the mood here. I have a Sophie's Choice tonight for the brown liquor once we get off the air. Yes, I will be responsible. I won't do anything that is going to jeopardize the nature and platitudes that this radio station is deserved. But I have some Woodford Reserve bourbon that I have left over from 2 weeks ago. One of the and it's not the regular one, it's the extra aged one. So there's that. And then there's some Templeton Rye whiskey, which is actually, that was the first real sipping whiskey that I actually got. And it was funny because the way that I was introduced to it, and it was back in my old college bar. See, the one thing about when you were in a college town that had some prominence like I was, is that you grow out of the college bars, so that when you start going to the bars that adults go to in those places, if you're like me and you stuck around a little bit too long, it wasn't that I stuck around too long, I got a job there, but it takes a while to earn your stripes, pardon the pun, because I went to a place that had a mascot named the Tigers. So it was very difficult to get out of the habit of just, hey, you know, ordering, you know, vodka tonics and Jameson Cokes and stuff like that. You needed to kind of get into a point where you actually had, you know, some clout, some street cred. You go into a place like a whiskey bar and order a fine libation. So I asked the person who was serving me one night, because this was one of those places that had like a huge board of whiskeys, like, you know, from everywhere in the world, not just, you know, Tennessee and Kentucky and other places that make whiskey. I said, I need something that is smooth for a novice, but also that is going to carry the kind of cred that when I order it straight, it will garner some respect. So that's when he said Templeton Rye. And the reason why Templeton Rye has, and again, I'm not trying to do an ad for it or anything, but the reason why it has a bunch of cred is that it's made from an old recipe that is derived from an old Al Capone desired whiskey, rye whiskey. So because of that, it carries a little bit of extra panache, if you will. So that is why I've always kind of stuck true to that. And lo and behold, sipped it, started on the rocks, and I've got to a point where I can enjoy it either with some stones or straight if the situation calls for it. But that is my brown liquor story of the evening. I'm sure I will do more throughout the week because the music just allows you to talk more about it. What's in your liquor cabinet right now, JD?
Uncle Nearest. You're familiar.
I've heard of that. Yes. Somebody will. That was. Did you talk about that on the when you were on with Dukes and Bell?
Yes. That's what I told Dukes and Bell, and I actually talked to Andy about it too, and he brought it up on air with Randy.
That's where I heard it because he was saying it. That's right because they were talking about that on the Friday Happy Hour because that's the dude who taught Jack everything he knew.
Man,
right?
Look, when I tell you, if you want to try something that some people know about it, but you're talking about one of those somebody's going to be getting inquisitive about it. They're like, oh, what's that? And then they try it, and you're like, oh my god. Like, why did I find out about this earlier? It is really good. Some good stuff. Like, because I've been trying some different stuff out, and I'm not really a heavy drinker, but no. I like to have something that can kind of get me there pretty quickly, and I can kind of just level off. Uncle Nearest is it. That is the whiskey. Oh, my God. Yes, that is something that you can just hold on to.
Are you aware of the Hawthorne effect of psychology? Are you aware of that?
Enlighten me.
So basically the Hawthorne effect means that you are going to be like you are going to act differently while being watched. And it refers to that, but it also kind of refers to like you will allow outside stimulus to affect your way of thinking, mm-hmm. i.e. having the belief that saying drinking a whiskey like Jack Daniel's in Tennessee makes it taste better in Tennessee. You could say the same thing about drinking, say, a Coca-Cola in Atlanta.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, Julianne has said, Coca-Cola tastes different in Atlanta. I personally love the taste of Coke anywhere in the world.
Indeed.
But, you know, I'll say it this way. Inside the Coca-Cola factory, it tastes a lot better.
Oh, yeah. It hit differently. It hit a little different.
It hits differently in there. Yeah, it hit a little different. Part of the reason why you're doing it is you have unlimited cups to go in there and do that. But, again, I will tell you right now, there are certain things. I will go this. Popeyes tastes different in New Orleans.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Can't tell me that ain't true. Jack Daniel's tastes different in Tennessee, and Coca-Cola tastes different in Atlanta.
No doubt. That is the epitome of some of that. Coca-Cola is like that's why I don't drink it, because I know the effects of it. Like, it can kind of just hit right there in that spot, like, especially on some ice. Oh my god, man.
Also, if you haven't had it in a while, like, if you haven't had regular Coke in a while and you have it,
it's gonna lock your jaw. It's gonna get you right. It's gonna hit right there, that little spot, right up under your jawline, right up in there where that index finger goes when it just hits the right way. Oh man, you're done deal. If you haven't had it in a while and you drink it, it's a wrap.
The morning show dudes were talking about this, and I was getting into a conversation with Hugh about it, and I enlightened Hugh about the fact that McDonald's does something different with their storage of the Coca-Cola syrup.
Hmm.
Like, basically what they do is they actually put the syrup, instead of keeping it in little bags, like usually it comes in like a bag or a box, they put it in a stainless steel chilled vat and keep it cold. And they have a special way that they do something with the mix of the carbonation. I've had a lot of time to read during the pandemic, okay?
So don't get on me.
So they do something special with the carbonation to where they basically they do something with the mix to allow for the condensation of ice. So because of that, so that's why when you get one at McDonald's, it doesn't taste watered down.
Nice.
So there you go.
But don't feel too bad, because I could probably go the same way or same route in conversation when it comes to the stock market, because Chuck and I have just been all in.
Oh, like, you've been in it.
Yeah, I've been in it, man. Every day.
guy on the text line from the 470 says Elmer T. Lee is something I need to try. I will take that under consideration. Of course, as we sit here a little bit after 10 on Sports Radio 99 The Game, we haven't reset what's going on in the sports world today. We'll tell you about it right now with what's happening.
Peter,
what's
happening?
Cam Newton has signed with the New England Patriots. We spent a lot of time talking about that. It's a one-year incentive-laden deal, around $1.5 million base salary. He can make up to $7.5 million. talked earlier in the show with Levin Reed. He's bullish on the signing, but others have a more skeptical feel, including Christian Fourier of our sister station, WEEI in Boston. He was on Radio.com earlier today and said exactly a slam dunk signing in his mind.
I'm not a huge Cam Newton fan. I think he's kind of dopey when it comes to just whenever he opens his mouth, he just sounds like a dope. I don't think, you know, and as far as accuracy, he's not very accurate. And I question his leadership ability. So, but that's me, looking from afar. Now, will he change and will he be a different person? I guarantee you he will. I guarantee you will. The Patriots just do a better job of, especially for the older players, listen, we're going to allow you to be yourself, but with some rules and regulations.
Does the Gatorade for Bill Belichick sold separately there by Mr. Fourier. My biggest question, and I asked this of Levin, and Christian also spoke to this as well. My biggest question is will Boston, will the Patriot fans accept him?
The only thing we react to is what we see. So, and that's kind of my question. That's kind of my point. So what we react to is what we're going to see. Now, I'm sure there'll be a lot of people say, oh, you don't know him, you don't know him. It happens with everybody, you know, like, but this is what we do in Boston. Like, if you're not on the inside and you don't know him, you know, so you react to what he gives you. And if he gives you dopiness, you know, we're going to respond accordingly. I mean, that's just the way it is, you know, and I played in Carolina, so I know what it's like out there. It's a great city, but it's a little different set of circumstances up here. We're not very nice up here.
I didn't mean to jump the cut there, but yeah, if you didn't hate Boston before, you do now. But if you didn't love Atlanta before, you definitely do now because of the fact that the Atlanta Hawks did something incredible. I will say that I found it very hard to vote a couple of weeks ago when we had that primary here in town. I live in Midtown. I had my polling place changed 2 or 3 different times from what it usually was to what it ended up being. They closed about 2 or 3 of them in the area. I had about a 4 or 5 hour wait at my polling place. I'm not going to sit here and say it was anything nefarious, but if it looks like a duck and walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, you know the rest of the saying. Meanwhile, the Hawks have responded in the positive and have created a new legislation that will allow, with the Fulton County Board of Elections and the Secretary of State, they're turning State Farm Arena into a polling place for the July into August early voting and runoff primary, and hoping to try and have that in place as well for the November election. Here is Steve Kuhn, president of the Hawks, speaking on Dukes and Bell earlier today.
State Farm Arena will now be a polling place. We're calling it Election Central for Fulton County. So starting on July 20th with the early voting for the runoff, you can come to the building and safely and social distantly, if there was such a word, vote. And then we will also be the destination for all mail-in voting. You guys have been on our practice court inside our building.
Yes.
And that practice court, we're turning it over along with the media entrance and the media dining room to the election people, and that's where they'll be counting all the votes that are mailed in. And then 3 weeks prior to the election, we will be open for early voting for the big November election, and we anticipate tens of thousands of people to be able to come into our building to vote comfortably, safely, and quickly.
I know I'll probably be one of them, because if it's anything like what I was having to deal with a couple of weeks ago, I'd much rather, you know, hop on the MARTA, wear my mask, and hopefully vote in a more expedient fashion. Probably be quicker to do it there. And there, speaking of the MARTA, that's one of the precautions and mindsets that they have taken into consideration with regards to that potential voting situation, according to what Steve told the guys earlier today on 92.9 The Game.
There has been issues with voting in Fulton County, significant issues. And we've believed that by creating a place that everybody knows, the parking will be available at no charge. The MARTA will now open its station for it. You know, an arena done well is town hall or the public square for the city. You can live in Milton or you can live in South Atlanta, as long as you're a registered Fulton County voter, you can come in and vote in a very easy, and again, you know, I don't know where you vote, but if you're voting in a library or a school, there's not a whole lot of space. There's not a whole lot of room to be safe. The one thing we have is a tremendous amount of space, and we're going to take that space and use it to get more people to vote so we can create change in this market.
I was supposed to vote at a church, went from a church to a library, and then went from a library to a bar. And the bar didn't have a lot of room inside of it, obviously. And you had people lined up on the side of the road. Like, I drove past it on the day that it happened. I'm just like, and it was miles, plural, long. So, yeah, I mean, I understand that we are not necessarily in the business of talking politics. I'm not trying to make that happen. But anytime we get an intersection where one of our teams tries to do good by the city and by the community, we're going to focus on that and give them their total props. That's not only to Steve Coonan, that's Tony Ressler, that's Lloyd Pierce. They've all been on the forefront of this, and they're continuing to do good for our city and for our state. If you missed our conversation earlier with DJ Shockley, I asked him about both of the new transfer quarterbacks and whether or not there will be a changing of the philosophy for Georgia's offense. Will it be as shackled as it's been under Kirby Smart? Shock answers that next when he joins me, Willie P. In for John Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Radio.com.
Listen, baby, don't even waste your tears on that insensitive.
It's the Brown Liquor Music Hour. Willie P. in for John Chuckery, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hope you're enjoying yourself on this Monday evening. I did want to put a bow on one particular story we touched on earlier in what's happening, and I wanted to bring it back here just because I wanted to get the perspective of Jarvis Davis, somebody who went to an HBCU and having, of course, a prominent HBCU featured in a way that I don't think we really envisioned was going to happen. Morehouse College suspending its athletic programs, they announced on Friday for the fall, which includes, of course, their football team. A real tough decision that was made by their head football coach, and he was able to join Sam and Greg on Sunday to discuss kind of his reaction to it. Rich Freeman, who basically said not only did the viability of the school to have a season without interruption was a factor, but most importantly, the safety of the student-athletes.
As long as all of us can remember, football season has pretty much been like, for all this to come about, just being able to get settled into the new reality, you know, it came as a shock. You know, now we're faced with it. Now we know without a doubt that we won't be having a season this year.
It is a tough decision. I know it was one that probably was done with a balance sheet in mind. I'm not going to sit here and be naive to that fact. But I also think, again, if you look at some of these decisions that have to be made for some of these smaller schools, it's not worth a liability on the back end, Jarvis, to have yourself put forth the kind of risk involved, especially if something breaks out inside your own team in a big way.
Yeah, that's the real thing. It's funny how you talk about the comparison and contrast to the NFL. When what we're saying about the NFL, like, oh yeah, they're playing because it's all about money, and you know, you fast forward to Morehouse making their decision to not have fall sports coming up. Yeah, they're not playing because of money, you know, because it's all about the money, and I think it's all about lost money as well. Like I said, there's a liability factor, and me playing and the thing I start to wonder is, coming from Albany State University, playing in the same conference as Morehouse, that's one game we don't have to worry about. And my whole thing is that the only game we're not going to have to worry about? Is there another team within the conference and start looking at that balance sheet like you talked about and say, you know what, it's probably not worth us playing. Like, we're probably not only there's a risk for our players, but there's a risk for us possibly coming up against a lawsuit. And like, and think about the losses we could take if that were to happen. I don't see a judge ruling in favor of a school if a group of players come together and like, hey, you guys put us in danger and we didn't have any choice. So, hey, we want $50 million. Like, where is that going to come from? So, right. Hey, if we can lose out on a couple hundred thousand dollars or a few hundred thousand dollars maybe in one season and lost on wages, obviously I'm just throwing that number out there, but if we can save potentially millions of dollars, $1 million lawsuit versus taking it to L right now and then possibly coming back, looking at coming back in the 2021 season, yeah, I think that's worth it. Because, and on top of that, you're talking about staff, you're talking about cheerleaders from Spelman, all of those things come into play. Like, there are a lot of people that aren't going to be put into danger, so to speak, and for this upcoming season. And at the end of the day, for me personally, I feel like, okay, if a prominent school like Morehouse isn't doing fall sports, like, who's next? That's my biggest fear.
I know this is something you also probably touched on with Tanitra in your podcast, which focuses on the HBCU schools in the current climate, where we have heightened social awareness when it comes to issues involving race. The HBCUs have gotten what I would consider to be a much-needed boost for a lot more students who are considering those schools, which I think is great for the betterment of those and the legitimacy of those. And you wonder if that made this decision for Morehouse even harder because of the fact that there was an opportunity they could have possibly seized here this upcoming season.
Yeah, that's the thing that kind of bewilders me a little bit, because you think about all of the famous alumni. You know, first thing guy comes to mind is Spike Lee. Oh, yeah, I was like, okay, Lee, like, yeah, man, what's $1 million to? And I hate to be that guy. I'm never Jackson the type of guy. Yeah, Samuel Jackson, like Martin Luther King. Obviously, he's not around, but you know, his family is still here, and like,
sure,
it just. I hate to get in people's pockets. I've never been that guy, but I'm just like, all right, man, what's a couple hundred thousand just to throw at this thing? Like, all right, you guys are concerned about the whole money thing. If you really want to do this, here's a check for $500,000. Like, make the season happen. Go do it. Do your thing. Exactly. Like, and it's just, I don't know, man. Like, I've never been that guy, but it's just, I'd be lying to myself if it wasn't the first thing that came to mind. Like, all right, you have some pretty prominent guys who stepped foot on that campus, and that was makes me believe that it was the money was considered, but I think it was a little bit more than just money. I think this was the genuineness about this decision, about being about the players and the safety. I think that was a huge part of this decision, because I think they probably would have made that phone call if they really wanted to have the season.
And you certainly heard that in Rich Freeman's voice, where they were really concerned about the safety of the players. And again, if you missed that interview with Sam and Greg, you can find a link to it on our website, 929thegame.com, as well as the radio.com app. Drastically transitioning, because I want to end on a happier note, some stories outside of the sports world or sports adjacent, which we will hit on in a segment I like to call the kicker.
We're talking about our kicker who got liquored up and ran his mouth off. What has the sports world come to? We're talking about kickers. He has ruined kickers for life.
I don't like the sound of them apples, Will.
I don't like it, don't like it, don't like it.
So I told you about the golfer who basically gripped and ripped. Well, it wasn't the kind of grip and rip that you're thinking of. This was happening on the course while Greg Chalmers was shooting at the Travelers Championship in Cromwell, Connecticut. Ian Poulter was his playing partner, and let's just say he had an accident.
You get that. Stay under there. That's supposed to be more silent than that.
That is not doctored. That is actual sound that took place on PGAtour.com, which is why we need more mics, as many mics as we possibly can, because that was absolutely hilarious. And I'm sure we as men have all been there. And it's funny, we did actually spend a time earlier in the program talking about the number two and how it relates to our significant others. That was as significant of a being caught with their pants in the wrong place, if you will, with regards to that particular situation involving Mr. Poulter. Have you ever been called a nickname that just, I don't want to use the term grinds your gears, but something that just when you hear it, it sounds like nails on a chalkboard? The one that I hate is the term bunny, and it was amplified while I was watching with my girlfriend the Netflix series You, because one of the main antagonists in the show calls the main character Joe Goldberg bunny, and I had an ex-girlfriend who used that. I hated it then, and it just vilified that entire experience for me right now. So that to me was just absolutely awful as far as I'm concerned. And not only that nickname, but a story in the news that involved an NFL running back has me want to retire a certain phrase. Ezekiel Elliott has had an eventful offseason. He got the Rona after ignoring social distancing orders. Then he was sued because his dogs viciously attacked his pool girl. This isn't necessarily bad in terms of bad for him, but it's just not a good look. He was on a live stream playing a game, and he said over the stream, "Bro, I'm low-key faded, man." I said, and he said, "Oh no, I didn't even end my stream." Now, I'm not mad that he, you know, took part in the herb. That's not where I'm mad. What I'm mad is, like, whenever you hear somebody say literally to mean figuratively, that's what I feel like when someone says low-key. Like, I'm low-key this, or I low-key like this. Just take the low-key out of it, man. It's such an unnecessary phrase. Like you're taking up time with this unnecessary garbage. That phrase is awful. And you know, you didn't think that was going to go that way, did you? You thought I was going to get mad at him for smoking weed. No. I'm more mad that he used "I'm low-key faded, man." Just say what you had to say, handsome. That's all. Don't say "I'm low-key this, I'm low-key that." That one, it's got to go. And last but not least, a survey of working parents in the United Kingdom says that only 13% of them want to go back to the way things were before coronavirus. Lockdown has given them a chance to balance their jobs and family lives, and saying just a survey of 1,500 people say just 13% want to go back to the pre-pandemic ways of working. I'll ask the one of us who is a parent plus worker, do you want to go back to life before the Rona? The way that you deal with your family life?
That would be cool. I'm not going to say I'm in a rush to get to it, because I got a chance to spend a lot of time with family and all that stuff. That's been great for me, and not a nightmare like it has been for some folks. But yeah, man, I'll be fine with things going back to quote unquote normal.
You need some separation. You got to keep it separate.
I wouldn't say need. That's a strong word. Need is a strong word. I wouldn't mind going back to getting some separation, if you say. Yeah, that's not a good word either. I'm married. Don't use that word. Yeah, I'll be okay with it. We're going to go with okay. I'll be okay with some separation.
I'm not going to put you in a bad spot.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I'll be okay with the transition back into somewhat normalcy. There you go. Got to be careful when you're married, man.
That's it. We'll put a bow on the show when we come back. Willie P. and for Chuck, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Radio.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.